Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hobo Thinga podcast. My name is Crystal Sedino, and I am the Training and Development Specialist for the Native Learning Center. I'm thrilled you guys are joining us, listening in on these podcasts. I hope everyone's also doing well during the COVID-19 pandemic, or as well as can be expected, you know, as we go through this. And I hope that these podcasts, more so recently the ones in April, have been helping financially because, I don't know if our listeners know this, but April is Financial Wellness Literacy Month. We thought it'd be a great idea to roll the series out like this. Hope that it brings some wisdom or knowledge to you. So I have a most special, very, very special guest today.
Hi, this is Wilma Noah. I am the Training and Development Specialist at the Learning Center. I hope everyone is doing well and staying safe. And, you know, we're all in this together. So we're hoping that all of our podcasts that we're doing for the month of April and the end of March, you know, we hope that all of this can help you in these times. So with that being said, our topic today
is
warrior up,
protect your identity.
Yes. Okay, so with that being said, go ahead, Crystal, with your first statement.
All right, so our title, as we know, identity theft and fraud is a huge issue in this country, and I feel like Native Americans in particular are taking advantage of greatly, where people assume that they're not as educated, and so then therefore, you know, like everything and anything can happen and will happen. And Wilma has a story to share a little bit later on to kind of just, you know, tie that statement back in. Especially our elders are taken advantage of, and it's not a very, you know, nice thing. It's frustrating to see that it happens so often. But anyway, so we thought this would be a good idea, and to kind of like kick it off, I do want to mention that the curriculum in which we're using in order to provide you guys with information is coming from the BNC book from First Nation OISA. Wilma and myself are BNC certified. So for those who don't know, we're Building Native Communities Financial Skills for Families certified, or trainers. We took a train the trainer class with First Nations OISA. And hey, Linnell. And we became certified, and it gives us the ability to teach this. So that's where we're pulling our curriculum from. And then, of course, we're adding, you know, experience of our own.
Also, we'd like to do a shout out to our executive director, Georgette Smith, for with today's topic. And we thought it was awesome to use for today's podcast.
Yes. So we... Yay. So just a background story on that. Wilma and I were stumped on creating a creative title for this podcast, and we kind of like threw it out to staff to kind of like help us. And Gigi, Georgette Smith, everyone knows her as Gigi, or anyone who does know her knows her as Gigi. She gave us this title. So yeah, good point. Thanks for reminding me, Wilma. We said we were going to give her a shout out. So, all right, let's kick it off. So, modern age has brought the internet, wireless communications, and numerous other technology advances that our ancestors probably never dreamed possible. Many of these innovations make common tasks easier, faster, and more efficient, especially in regard to our finances. However, technology combined with larger financial networks has also made our society vulnerable to a new kind of crime. Dun, dun, dun! Identity theft. So for those who don't know what identity theft is, or, you know, you're curious, identity theft occurs when someone fraudulently uses your name, personal information, or reputation for financial gain. So like I was saying, elders, more wise generations before us, are usually targeted more just because they're not as aware of all of these technological advances. And that's okay. That's, you know, that's nothing to, you know, I don't want to say be ashamed, but like, you know, it's nothing to think is a bad thing. It's okay that they're not as savvy. Hopefully younger generation, the youth, is able to teach them. And that's what kind of like this podcast is about. It's about educating everyone so that you don't become a victim of identity theft. All right. So Wilma, carry us through.
So common types of identity theft include someone stealing your social security number to file taxes. We're here in South Florida, and that happens all the time down here. And it's unfortunate. So ways that you could, you know, protect yourself is maybe shred information like that. Also, someone using your name and social security number to apply for a credit card without your permission. And thirdly, someone using your name and social security number to open a bank account without your permission. And lastly, someone using your social security card or medical card to access medical care.
Which is against the law.
Yes.
But people do it.
Mm-hmm. Can a person get your information?
Someone could steal your social security number. Especially if you carry it around with you, which is why you're told not to carry it around with you, because you could drop it anywhere and then Joe Schmo or a Yahoo picks it up and decides, let's check their credit. Let's check this. Let's take a look into this. Let's, you know, you give access to that, and goodness gracious, I hope that whoever finds it is a good person, because you could do a lot of damage.
Right.
All right. So the other thing is your credit card information may have been stolen from an online database as part of a hacker attack. And I mean, we've seen this, like Experian and Equifax and all the major credit card bureaus have, you know, experienced hacks and whatnot. And, it, you know, it's just a matter of someone going online and trying to acquire information, making attempts on, you know, your login, you know, username and passwords. And if they get in, you're at risk of identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to be careful and mindful of where you're plugging your information in, and making sure these websites that you are using are the actual websites and not a fake one.
Right.
All right. What else?
So ways that you can protect your information. Firstly, is do not give your social security number to anyone, especially not a stranger who calls you on the phone.
That's a big one.
Like I said, I have bags of stuff that I still need to shred. So shred all financial documents like bank statements and credit card statements that have any sensitive information on them. Keep your passwords, PIN numbers, and other account information private. Be careful when purchasing things online. Don't enter your social security number or credit card number unless you are confident the site has good security and will protect your data. Never give personal or financial information to strangers. Shred old credit cards and don't lend your checkbook or ATM card to anyone. And I know this is hard for some because, you know, like you can trust that person, and hopefully if you're going to do that, make sure that there's someone that you trust, because you know, like I've given my number or my credit card number, ATM card, excuse me, to my daughter. But, you know, I know that they would not do that whatsoever. So just trust the person. If you're going to do that and it is a have to situation, make sure you trust the person.
Right. So to keep in mind, criminals can rob unsuspecting victims without them even knowing it, and can destroy their reputations and peace of mind. Some victims of identity theft spend years working to restore their lives, correcting their personal data, and paying for legal services, all because someone used their good name to commit fraud. So try to take precautions now to avoid being a victim of identity theft. And, you know, we could say, oh, that's common sense. It's really not. Again, we have to think of generations that came before us with respect. And I mean, I've been a victim before. I've had, quote unquote, the IRS call me without realizing at the time, this is a few years back, that IRS doesn't call anyone. So, you know, the target people who don't know, who are young, who are older, who, you know, again, might not be as savvy. And I wasn't. And thankfully, I didn't give him information, but still, it's, you know, it's the attempt. Now, I think it's important to mention steps to take if you become a victim of identity theft, because facts are that it happens. It's going to happen. It's, I think there's a quote that's like, it's not a matter of who, it's a matter of when, or something like that. So take every step possible to prevent it. So the Federal Trade Commission has a website that provides a step-by-step overview of how to deal with identity theft. Visit https / www.identitytheft.gov for more information. And so the Federal Trade Commission recommends that you take the following actions immediately. Step one, call the companies where you know fraud occurred. Ask them to freeze or close your accounts so they cannot be used to make any more purchases. Step two is place a fraud alert on your credit reports and review your credit reports. Placing a fraud alert on your credit report can help stop an identity thief from opening any more accounts in your name. Also, by placing an alert with any one of the agencies, the other two will be notified automatically. Step three, file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission. You can file a complaint at https://www.identitytheft.gov/. Or call 1-877-438-4338. And then step four, file a report with your local police or the police in the community where the identity theft took place. So hopefully these steps help anyone who has experienced identity theft or is in the middle of experienced identity theft and they're not sure what to do. Listen, it happens everywhere. It's like I said, it's not a matter of who, it's a matter of when. You can be, anyone can be a victim. Let's try and take steps to be proactive and prevent it. All right, Wilma, I know you had a story.
Okay, so like I'd say it was about a couple of months ago. I was at work and I get a text from my sister and she tells me that my mother got a call from someone that says that they were going to file a civil suit against me for something. And it was vague kind of. So I call the number and I'm like, I wonder why my mom didn't call me. Like maybe she was upset by the call. Maybe they harassed her. I don't know. She never did say. Mm. Anyway, I call the number and they were totally unprofessional. First of all, if you owe a debt collection company would say this is an attempt to collect a debt. Any information obtained will be used for that purpose. And from the get-go, the lady goes, you owe $2,000 from a payday loan that you took 10 years ago. How are you going to pay this? And I'm like, first of all, I owe anyone. How are you going to prove that I owe this? I need some paperwork to show where I sign it. She goes, well, we have your driver's license information and you owe this. And I just knew it was like fake from the get-go. Thank God. Sometimes it's hard and people get like scared because they're caught off guard.
Right.
But, you know, a professional debt collector will always give you the Miranda. They'll also provide proof if need be. And you should always ask proof. Needless to say, I called mom. I said, don't ever answer that phone call because it's a scam, mom. They're just trying to get information. Thank God you didn't give them any information, you know, about me, you know, and she goes, oh, she goes, I didn't know, you know, so those are steps that you could take, like, just be aware, always be aware.
Oh, Lord, I hate scammers. So in that scenario that Wilma
and how they got my mom's number that connected with me, I do not know. I mean, there's professional people out there that just maybe the, what is the word called? Skip tracers. Mm. They like connect one person to the other. I don't know how right. They did it, but you know, just be aware of that.
It, I mean, with the internet these days, your information's everywhere. So, mm-hmm. And it's a matter of them getting lucky and getting someone to pick up and being like, oh yeah, I have a daughter named Wilma Noah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, whatever else. So,
oh, on top of that, just for me to get more information from this company, I called back to ask if I was going to pay them. And I said, well, how do I pay you? And I need an address so I can go to the business. And she goes, we don't give out that information due to security reasons. See, Everything is all crazy.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, she wants you to give her your credit card number over the phone to make a payment. And that's not. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So don't ever do that.
I was going to say something. I was going to tie it into like, how could that have led to fraud? So with that, so Wilma received a scam call, and then obviously from the scam call, had Wilma not had the knowledge that she does, she would have passed her information on to the person, and then the person, like, God knows what they could have done, you know, with it. They could literally do anything. So yeah, scam leads to fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give out your information. Just don't. All right, Wilma, anything else we want to add to this?
Well, the oldest type of fraud is forgery.
Right.
And it's been around forever. And forgery is just a type of identity theft where a person will try to withdraw money from your account by pretending or acting like that they're you. And an example of it is when someone writes your signature on the back of a check to cash it. If for any reason you think that someone has taken one of your checks, immediately call your financial institution. Explain to them that to cancel the check, first of all, before anyone can cash it, and that's called a stop payment. And there may be a fee, but it may be cheaper than what the person wrote the check for, you know, to take. They could write it for anything. So I believe a stop payment would be around $25. But what if that person wrote a check for $2,000 or, you know, something like that? And they could
take
all of your money.
You just never know. So if you're curious about that, I'd contact your bank and see what, if you're, you know, if you're writing checks and stuff. I don't write checks. I do everything online, so everything's like password protected and so on and so forth. And yes, my passwords are different. They're not all the same. But contact your bank to see, you know, what the cost of that would be, just, you know, just to find out. That way you have a backup plan in the event anything were to happen.
And most of all, prevention will just save you time and money.
And headaches.
Mm-hmm. Protect your passwords. Shred your bank and credit card statements and take precautions to protect your social security number.
All right, folks, that's all I've got. Wilma, you got anything else?
That's all I have. I hope everyone's doing well. And I thank you again for listening to this. And we welcome you back for the next one.
Yeah. All right. And if you guys need to get a hold of us for whatever reason, maybe you have an idea for a podcast that you'd want us to do or you'd like to be part of that fits under our NAHASDA objectives, feel free to reach out to us. My email is going to be crystalcedino@semtribe.com. So it's going to be crystalcedino@semtribe.com.
And mine is wilmanoah@semtribe.com. That's wilmanoah@semtribe.com.
Awesome. And we hope you guys are doing okay. And if you need us, holler at us. We're here to help. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.